We begin the current davim, sech tischun daf kav ches. We begin 3 lines down on the tab of the yamin. The Gemara continues to halacha, the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of this perek, kala bas, regarding the prohibited taroivis, the mixture of bas b'chalav, meat and dairy, which gets us into that halachic conversation regarding taroivis, regarding forbidden mixtures. So the Mishnah tells us, tipas chalav, there was a drop of milk, shenofla al chaticha, that fell on a piece of meat. Now we're talking about the piece of meat is in a pot, and it fell onto one of the pieces. Now, it's talking about that he didn't mix up the pot. So therefore, that drop of milk, that taste, did not spread out into the whole pot, rather into that one piece that it fell on. Says the Mishnah, Im yeshba benoisin tam ba'isachaticha. So if that drop of milk is going to be enough milk that's going to give taste into that one piece, in other words, that piece of meat does not have 60 in ratio to that one drop, which that's how we generally ascertain if it has taste or not, if it has a ratio of 60 to 1. It doesn't have 60 times that amount of milk, so the milk is going to give taste into that piece of meat. So then also, so immediately that piece of meat becomes forbidden. Now, regarding the other piece of meat in that pot, the Tanava Mishnah does not discuss it, and the Gemara they're going to bring a machlekes regarding now, does that piece of meat that became forbidden go ahead and now make the other pieces in the pot forbidden or not? That's one case of the Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah continues and says a different case. Let's say near a sakadeira. Let's say when the drop of milk fell onto the piece of meat, he immediately mixed up the pot immediately before that piece of meat got a chance to absorb itself the taste from that drop of milk. Where now that drop of milk is spreading out not just into that piece of meat, but into the wholeness of that pot. Oh, so here the Mishnah qualifies otherwise. If that drop of milk has enough to give taste into the contents of the entire pot, only then is it going to be forbidden. In other words, if that drop of milk does not have enough to give taste in whatever's in the pot, then it's not going to make it forbidden. Now, inferring from the halacha of our Mishnah, Amar Abaye, he says the following halacha. This that in general that we say regarding all prohibited items, that the moment it gives taste into something that's permitted, even though you don't have the actual substance of that prohibited item itself, for example, let's say something prohibited fell into a pot, and you remove the prohibited item, and all you have is taima, you only have its taste, v'loy mamashay, and not its substance, that ba'alma, we say that generally it's forbidden, says Abaye, that halacha is dairaisa, that's a biblical law, which we learn now from the context of our parak of basa b'chalom, where the Torah says that when you have meat and milk that get mixed together, it's forbidden to eat that mixture. As the Gemara later on, the Kofetez Vav Mabez learns out because it says the Pasuk Lisavashla Gadiba Chalevi May 3 times in the Torah, and one of those are telling you that it's prohibited to eat it. Now that's even though one has removed one from the other, the meat from the milk or the milk from the meat, after it was cooked, and all you have now is the taste of the other one. So from there you learn not to all prohibited items in the Torah, what's called a mamatzina, we compare it, and we say that so to everywhere else, where all you have is the taste of the other one, still that's going to make it prohibited, even though you don't even have the substance of that forbidden item. And Abaye proves his point in the halacha of our Mishnah. Because if you'd entertain to say that by all other prohibited halachas, that when you have its taste prohibiting what it fell into, that's only the Rabbanan, that's only rabbinic law, because we don't learn that from Basa B'chalav, where there all you have is the taste of the other one. So then, says Abaye as follows, Mi Basa B'chalav, my time of Ligermina. So why would you say we wouldn't learn that out from Basa B'chalav, where you see all you really have is the taste of the meat in the milk, and yet the milk's becoming forbidden, or otherwise? So you would say, no, you don't learn that from Basa B'chalav, because the Chiddushu, it's a novelty. You can't learn that from things that are unique and novel. Why is Basa B'chalav novel? Because both the meat and the milk, individually, are permitted items. They're not prohibited items intrinsically. When they get mixed together, then they become forbidden. Moreover, it's when it gets cooked, and it's specifically when it gets cooked. Moreover, it's even the cooking that's forbidden, even without eating. So therefore, you can't learn that other stringent halachas or that are stringencies from Basa B'chalav, because that's uniquely stringent where you actually have permitted items that are becoming forbidden. But says Abaye, but if you would want to reject my proof from learning from Basa B'chalav, because you'd say it's a novelty, so then why does our Mishnah say that you need to have taste when the drop of milk falls onto the piece of meat? But then the Isra Basa B'chalav should be even forbidden, even if the milk is not giving taste into the meat. Because you're saying it's a novelty that the Torah introduced, and therefore it should be even a minute amount, because it's Basa B'chalav. obviously says Abaye. You see, it's not a chiddush. There's nothing really new or radically different over here by Basa B'chalam. To the contrary, this is a concept we know that the Torah is very particular with. For example, by the halach of Kalai HaKerem, where those also permitted items, but Hashem says he doesn't want to have this tarevis, this mixture of permitted items. So since it's not a novelty, this concept of basa b'chalav, so then we do pertain to the generic laws, as we learn in Daf Tzadik Ches Amud Aleph, from the laws of Zoray B'Sheila, where, yeah, when you have something that's forbidden that gets mixed with something else, as long as it doesn't give taste, it's going to be permitted. So therefore, it's not a chiddush. So if it's not a chiddush, says Abaye, then we do learn that from basa b'chalav. And that's why basa b'chalav also has to have taste, like by Zoray B'Sheila, where we learn regarding that there's parts that are forbidden for the Zar, but the rest of the aisle is permitted. And we said it has to come to like b'shishim, which is a certain measurement, but it comes down to the element of taste. So then if it's not a chiddush, then we will learn that from basa b'chalav, and we'll say that just like by basa b'chalav, all you have is taste and no substance, and it's biblically prohibited, so to by all prohibited items, the halacha is that the tam itself is going to be biblically a prohibition. However, Amalei Rava, he rejects the proof of Abaye. He says, no, I could really tell you that you cannot learn that from basa b'chalav. You're right, but basa b'chalav, the tam is going to be biblically prohibited, but not by other isurim. Now, this that you're saying, that, wait a second, so if it's a chiddush, then the milk should make the meat prohibited, like in the first case of a Mishnah, even if it doesn't give it a taste. And the reason is because you cannot learn it out from Zoray B'Sheila, which says, no, it's only forbidden when it gives a taste. And you'll say that, no, basa b'chalav is different because it's a chiddush. But says Rava, from that angle, you're right, that it should make it forbidden even if it's just a drop that doesn't give it a taste. But says Rava, the pasuk itself, the verse itself, will prove that it needs to have a taste. Why? From the fact that the Torah only made it forbidden, derech bishul astra Torah, and that's actually how it's said in the Torah, leisavashal gedibach leivim, why does it say leisavashal, if the Isser is eating it? Because it's only prohibited when they're cooked together. Now, says Rava, this meat that's prohibited when it gets cooked with milk, and that's the only biblical case that it gets prohibited, it's impossible that when it's getting cooked that it's not giving taste. So you see that the biblical prohibition of basa b'chalav is only when it's giving taste. And that's why it has to give taste. Not because of, oh, because it's not a chiddush, and therefore it's like all other halachas, like Zoray B'Sheila, and therefore it says that Abaye wants to say you could learn out from that. No, it says, Rabbi, it is a chiddush. You cannot learn out from there that tam is going to be biblically prohibited. And that's only uniquely for basa b'chalav. So then why does the halacha of Mishnah say it has to give taste? That's because that's intrinsic to the halacha of basa b'chalav itself, which is only asa derech bishul, and that's why it has to be a case that's giving taste. Another halacha relating to the halacha of our Mishnah, Amar Rav. Rav says, this that we learned in the Mishnah, that so the ratio, the first case of the Mishnah, if the drop of the, we said that drop of milk gives taste into that piece of meat, it's going to be asr. Says Rav, not only is that piece itself going to be asr, and as we had alluded to this in the Mishnah, that the Mishnah didn't talk about the rest of the pieces of the pot, Rav says it's going to make all the pieces of the pot prohibited. Why? So he explains. He says, kim shenosin tam b'chaticha, because once that drop of milk gives taste into that piece of meat, which we said, if it's giving taste, well, now that piece of meat's prohibited because it doesn't have a ratio of 60 to 1. So you have basa b'chalav in that piece of meat. So now you have what's the concept called chatich atzmanas navela. Now that piece itself doesn't have something prohibited inside of it. It itself is entirely looked at as a prohibited item. It's like a navela almost, meaning to say like an animal that died without slaughtering, the whole thing is prohibited. And what's known as chanan, chatich nas navela, the whole thing is prohibited. Now, therefore, says Rav, v'yiseris kol hachatichas kulam. That's why it's going to go ahead, this piece of meat, and now make all those other pieces of meat prohibited, because even if the rest of the contents of the pot have enough to nullify even the whole piece of meat that now you're considering as prohibited, they're all going to be forbidden. Why? Mevnei shehein mina. Because the rest of the contents of the pot are the same species as that initial piece of meat. And Rav holds like a behuda that holds min b'mina le'batel. When it's the same species, it cannot nullify. So therefore, this piece of milk that made that piece of meat prohibited, now that piece of meat, we look at all its molecules as prohibited molecules, now that it's going to be mixed, even in 1,000 to 1, doesn't make a difference. It's the same species, it can't nullify. The whole pot's going to be awesome. Now, however, under that, the Gemara asks, Amalei mazutra b'reid Rav Mari l'Ravina. He says, Mechti, let's see. Rav, kaman omer l'shmaite. Rav, obviously, as we just explained, who, like, according to whose opinion is he teaching his teaching? Rabbi Yehuda, the Amma min b'mina le'batel, as we said, that he says when it's the same species, it cannot nullify. Now that says the Gemara, but if that's the case, le'me pliga de rabba. Shall we say that Rav since he's going like Rabbi Yehuda, is obviously disagreeing with Rava, because the Amar Rava, Rava had said in Perek Anasha and Daf Kof Mabez, he had qualified Kesav Rabbi Yehuda. He said in the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that although he says min b'min elei batel, but he described the following scenario: kol shehu min u'minoi v'davar acher. Whenever you have a species that's prohibited, and the same species that's permitted, and something else with that same species. In other words, like we said, you have a species that's prohibited that gets mixed with its same type that's permitted, and also something that's not its type that's permitted. Said Rava, that Rabbi Yehuda holds, what you do is salik es minay. You remove, so to speak, the permitted that's the same species, and you make a kemisha enay as if it's not even there, because it has no effect whatsoever, neither to nullify the prohibited item, because Rabbi Yehuda holds min b'min elei batel, so it cannot nullify the prohibited item, but neither do you consider it like, okay, so it's not nullifying, so it's being added to the prohibited as if we have two elements that are prohibited, and if that would be the case, then the non-minoi, the other type, would not have enough to go ahead and quantify and nullify the two of them. No, rather, says Rav, what Rabbi Yehuda holds is, you remove it, as if it's not over here. Now, so you remove that one that's the minoi of heter. So now all you have is the eino minoi and the minoi of iser. And therefore, v'she eino minoi, now you have the non-species, the different one of heter, that's rabba love, that's now that you do have enough of being the majority of increasing on the prohibited item, umavatli, and it will nullify that one of iser. So if that's the case, if that's the way we understand the way rabba describes it, in our case too, then when you have this drop of milk that fell into this piece of meat, and this piece of meat became aser. The thing is that there's not only pieces of meat in this pot, there's also gravy. So the gravy would have enough to nullify that one piece of meat that became forbidden. So according to Rava, why would Rabbi Yehuda hold that be forbidden? It shouldn't be forbidden. Because since you have min u'minoi v'she einoi minoi, you have the prohibited piece of meat with the permitted piece of meat and the permitted different element, that of gravy. So you should make like those other pieces of meat are not here. That's the halacha that Rabbi says, Rabbi Yehuda. And then the gravy will nullify the one piece of meat. The fact that Rav is saying it's us, or it seems that he disagrees with Rav in the qualification of Yehuda's opinion. And that a Malay Ravina said to him, no, Rav doesn't disagree with Rav. If it would be talking about that drop of milk fell into the piece of meat that's in liquid gravy, Hachanami, of course, yes, Rav, that would be like the way Rav had said, and actually the other piece of meat would not be prohibited, because we would say it as if they're not there, and the gravy, which is something else, that ain't the meanly, would be nullifying that one piece of meat. But Hachamai Skin, what are we talking about over here in this case, is the Nafal Bereitiv Ava, is where it falls into thick gravy. There's no liquid over here. It's just these small little pieces of meat on the bottom and fat, where they're all qualified as types of meat. They're considered like solids, not as liquids, and therefore there's no enemine over here, and that's why Rav and Rav would agree, is saying that all the pieces of meat are forbidden. But the Gemara continues asking on Rav. Umaikar Savar, what does Rav hold in regarding to a related concept, what's called Efshal L'Seichtoi? Can you squeeze it out? In other words, if a prohibited item gets absorbed into a permitted item, giving a taste, now making that permitted thing forbidden, and then you go and cook that previously permitted thing with other permitted pieces of thing, where do you say that it's possible for that prohibited absorptions that got absorbed in that permitted thing to get squeezed out and now to get subdivided in all those other permitted things that it's getting cooked in subsequently, and therefore you don't have enough of a measurement to make those other things prohibited because it's spreading out only that prohibited element and there's not enough in the new quantity that it's falling into? Now, as the Gemara explains, if Rav holds that it's possible to squeeze out the prohibited elements that gets absorbed in that originally permitted item that absorbed it, then it's even permitted that originally absorbed peas because it's spitting out what's ever got absorbed in it that was forbidden. Now, although initially that's prohibited to do because of a halachic concept called imavat nesliketchili, not initially nullify a prohibited item, but after the fact it's going to be permitted even that first initial item, that's what Rav holds, then chaticha minas nevela. Then why does he say that the piece itself is becoming a nevela, but it's possible to squeeze it out from it and let it get subdivided amongst all the other pieces there in the pot where those other pieces are not accepting any iser. In other words, we can't make anything aser until the milk, that drop of milk is going to give taste in all the pieces. Because you can't say, oh, If you say you could squeeze it out. Okay, maybe it's getting squeezed out of this piece and now totally getting absorbed in another piece, and therefore maybe that other new piece should get forbidden. No, because they all are equally absorbing the taste from that drop of milk. So which one are you going to say is aser, which one is going to say is mutter? So if he would hold efshel asachta is aser, if he would hold it's mutter, that it's going to be permitted, so then why would you say chana? Why would you say that this piece of meat is totally forbidden and now you have it's mimbeminois, it's not going to be bottled? Why? Even if you say this becomes forbidden, but it's going to get all squeezed out, and now in the rest of the quantity, it's not enough to make it aser, it's not giving taste into the rest. So Ella rather says the Gemara, ksava efshel asachta aser. It's obvious that Rav holds that from once the piece becomes forbidden, then you cannot permit it now by, so to speak, squeezing it out. And moreover, it's teaching us that even the previously permitted molecules and particles that there was also become aser, which actually that even increases the quantity of what was aser than before, because before all you had technically aser was that drop of milk. Now that whole piece of meat with everything inside of it is aser, to make even a larger quantity of circle forbidden, to have 60, not just in relation to the drop of milk, but even in relation to that original piece of meat. And since the old eshel sechta is aser, so that's why you say chanan. Because if you held mutter, then you wouldn't say chanan. You would say, okay, it's going to get permitted by what it's then squeezing out into the rest of that pot, which would have enough to nullify that drop of milk. Didma, like we learned, which actually it's machlekes amaram, and we have Rav, Reb Chanina, Reb Yechon, the army that they all say efshel sechta aser, like we just proved that Rav holds like that, and as was quoted that regarding this, if it's possible to squeeze it out, it's all aser, all the absorptions, all the taste inside that piece of meat are considered like its own iser, and not just the milk molecules that are inside of it. Where Shmuel, Reb Shimon bar Rebbe, Resh Lakish, the army, they all say efshel sechta mutter, that possible to squeeze it out, it's permitted, meaning that even the initial thing that it had absorbed it becomes permitted, because now it's redistributing it, and it itself never became an iser itself. And because of that, it could even become permitted subsequently. Now, this the Gemara continues to ask and says, "B'sava Rav efshel sechta aser, is it really so?" As we're quoting that Rav holds that to even if you say a concept that we'll try to squeeze out what it absorbed, it doesn't make a difference. The whole piece of meat itself is now a shtick iser. It's a piece of a prohibited item itself. But Vitma, we learned the following halacha from Rav: "Kizayis baser shenofel tech yerish al chalav." If the flip side of the case of our Mishnah, I'm just talking about dropping milk falling into a pot of meat. Here you have a piece of meat the size of an olive that fell into a boiling pot of milk. So Amarav, he says, so Basar Asr says the piece of meat that fell in is prohibited because there's a lot of milk over there. And the milk gave, you don't have 60 of the meat to the milk, the milk gave taste into that piece of meat. So the meat is Asr. But Bechal of Mutter, the milk is going to be permitted. And the reason is because the meat didn't have enough quantity to give taste into that milk. You have so much milk over there, so it's not putting in so much taste in the milk, so the milk is still permitted. So that makes sense. However, says the Gemara, but if it's true, like we're describing for Rav, who he's the one that's saying this teaching, that what even if what you're squeezing out is prohibited, in other words, we don't say that, oh, once it gets squeezed out, it goes back to the permitted element it originally was, but rather we say that it always stays forbidden, that piece of meat, and we actually view the meat itself as the prohibited thing. So then the Gemara continues to Talmud Beis and says, Chalav amai mutter. So then why does Rav say that the milk is going to be permitted, but you have the little bit of milk that got absorbed into the meat? That milk is Chalav Nevelahu. This milk that got absorbed and then got squeezed back into the pot of milk, that milk became Nevela, because it became forbidden. We said whatever's in that original piece of meat is all forbidden. Now, when it goes back and gets spit back out into the rest of the milk, that's min b'minoy. It's the same species. You have forbidden milk with permitted milk, and Rav holds min b'minoy le bottle doesn't get nullified. So why is the rest of the milk permitted? It should be forbidden. If you're saying, like we're saying in Rav, that efshel sechta is aser. So says Gemara, lo'ilam ksav Rav efshel sechta aser. No. It's like we had quoted him, and that was clear that Rav holds that even what you're going to squeeze out is going to be prohibited. It's not like, oh, it was in and then it's out, like as if it could go back to its original status and like, okay, milk got into the milk. Okay, but when it comes out, it's back milk again. It's not meat milk. It's not basar b'chalav of milk. We're saying, no, it is basar b'chalav of milk. It will retain its iser, generally something that's going to get squeezed out. It's forbidden. It's always going to be forbidden. It cannot get squeezed out and go back to its permitted status. But Vashani Hasam, there by Basa B'chalav, it's different. Why? Because Amakar, the Pasuk says in Shemais, Le'savashal Gedi B'chalev Imay. What's the subject of the Pasuk? Don't cook a kid goat in its mother's milk. What the inference of the Pasuk is, Gedi Asr Torah. What's the Torah saying is forbidden? Don't cook the meat in the milk. Like the subject is the meat. Be careful with the meat. Don't cook it in milk. The Torah is saying when you make basa b'chalav, you know what's the prohibited item? It's the meat that becomes forbidden. V'lo chalav, and not the milk. Meaning, even the milk in the meat is permitted. And even if you had so much quantity of meat to give taste in all the milk, Rav holds, the milk is always permitted. The milk is never what's forbidden in basa b'chalav. It's the meat part that becomes forbidden. And therefore, that's why it says that, yeah, even if that basa b'chalav milk, because Efshel Sachle is Aser, goes back into the milk, it doesn't make a difference. The milk itself is not Aser. It's only the meat. And therefore, once Efshel Asaichta, it's going to be squeezed out. Although generally it's Aser, here the milk doesn't become a prohibited item, and therefore it's not a problem. However, in this the Gemara asks, the Sava Rav Gedi Aser, Torah B'lechav, is this really true that Rav holds that the Torah only made the meat forbidden and not the milk? But V'itma, we have a different teaching of Rav. Rav says, Chatzi Zai is Baser, V'chatzi Zai is Chalav. If let's say you have and a half an olive size of meat, and you have a half an olive size of milk. Now, although milk is a liquid, and generally liquids are not measured with zayas, but how we measure regarding wine and milk and all other liquids, if we want to evaluate it as a zayas, which is generally solid, what you do is you fill up a cup full with liquid, and then you bring an olive, and you put that olive into that liquid, and then you see how much that displacement, how much liquid comes out, however much comes out, that's how we qualify that as the Sheir B'Kazayas, as taught in the Braisa in Masechtas Nazir. So, but be that as it may, you have a half an olive size, which the Sheir is always a Zayas, but you have half of a Zayas of Basar and half a Zayas of Chalav. Shebishal and Zemzeh, and you cook them two together. So Rav says, Loika Alechilasai, so you get lashes if you eat that combined kezayis, because ultimately you eat a kezayis of iser, of basa b'chalav, but ve'ina leka al bishula, but you don't get lashes for cooking them together, which later on the Gemara is going to explain how does that work together. Generally, basa b'chalav, it's all the same. There's iser bishul, iser achila, iser anah, and if it's going to be aser for achila, it should be aser for bishul. But one thing says the Gemara, v'isa g'day tech g'di aser tayv le'chalav, but if you say, like we're trying to explain now, that the only prohibited element in basa b'chalav is the meat and not the milk, so then achila my loike. So why in this case that Rav just described, you get lashes for eating, chatzi shiru. Lashes requires a share of a kezayis. But you didn't eat it. Look, so to be prohibited, we could understand chatzi shir asam not tayra. But to get lashes, you need a share of a kezayis, and you're not eating a share of a prohibited item because you're saying the milk is not prohibited. It's the meat that got milk inside of it. And that meat is forbidden. So you only eat a half a shir, you only eat a half a zayis of meat. Why are you getting lashes? So the Rather says the Gemara, you're right. Laila Miksava Rav, generally Rav holds that Chalav Nami Aser. Of course that where, if let's say there's a prohibited taste of meat in the milk, or you have prohibited milk in the other milk even without taste, but the milk itself does become forbidden in the Issa Basa B'Chalav. So then we're back to the question, so V'Hach Ma'eskin, but what are we talking about over here in the previous teaching of Rav, when he said that the meat's going to be prohibited, but the milk's going to be permitted? We said, wait, why is the milk going to be permitted? Efshel Seif Disaster. And then you have the milk and the meat that comes back into the milk, and that should, min b'mina in the bottle, it should make all the milk prohibited. That's for a different reason. That's Kegoyin Shenafel, we're talking about, for example, where that olive size piece fell L'toich Yerisachas, into a boiling hot pot of milk, where the mivla bala, that piece of meat is only absorbing a miflat loypalat, and it's not spitting out. So as long as the pot doesn't cool down, it's not going to be spitting out. That's why the whole question was based on the premise that, oh, so the meat becomes forbidden because so much milk and very little meat, and the meat's taking the taste of the milk. But then we're saying, okay, but the milk from the meat is going to go back into the milk. Says the Gemara, no, because as long as it's bubbling, the meat's only absorbing and not emitting. So that's why the milk's going to still be permitted. But the Gemara asks, save, save, kinayi chad apalit. But yeah, at the end of the day, when it does cool down, then it's going to spit it out, and then the milk should be forbidden. Says the Gemara, kishakad mesilkai. The case is talking about where they took out that olive-sized piece of meat before it cooled down, and that's why. But right, if it was left, then of course the milk would be forbidden, because efshel sechtei aser and mimimina in the bottle. Now, once we introduced a teaching from Rav, the Gemara goes back to clarify, as we alluded, that there's a question in that teaching. So Gufa, We had said from Rav, chatzi zayis basa b'chatzi zayis chalav. Someone has a half an olive size of meat and a half an olive size of milk, shebisholen zemze, which was cooked with each other. So Amar Rav, he says, loike alech halasa. If someone would eat that whole zayis, he'll get lashes for eating it. But ve'en yaloike al bashul, he won't get lashes for cooking it. And that is the Gemara manavshach. What's your desire? How do you look at this? Either way, it's difficult. Even starfin, if you say that the two halves combine, sabishol nami luki. So once you get lashes even for cooking a share bas b'chalav. And Eloy Mitztarfin, and if they don't combine, so then Achila Namile Luki, so one shouldn't get lashes even for its eating. Do we view as two halves as valid or not? Says Gemara, Lo'ilam Loy Mitztarfin. Really, they don't combine to make a prohibited element of Basa B'chalav, unless if they each had a requisite shear, a measurement of an olive to be considered significant to the get lashes of whatever the Isser Basa B'chalav that one is doing, whether cooking or eating. Now, but when Rav said that you're going to get lashes for eating that combined half an olive of each one, was talking about ubeba meyari gedayla, where it's talking about where it came from a larger pot. And Rav's teaching was actually what said letzedadin. It's actually two different cases. When he said that if you eat a half a zayas of basar and a half a zayas of chalav, that you're going to be chayiv, that's not where you started off. That was coming from a larger pot. In other words, we had a huge pot of meat and of milk that became forbidden. Then from that pot, if you have a half, if you're eating a half an olive size of the meat and a half an olive size of the milk, then the person is going to get lashes because he ate a complete measurement of this prohibited element, what's known as basa b'chalav, even though half was meat and half was milk, but it, there was a shear of more than a zayis of meat and a more than a zayis of milk. But when he said this halacha that you're not going to get lashes for its cooking, there he was talking about if when you started off with that, you had just a chatzis zayis basa and a chatzis zayis chalav, and you cooked them one with the other, there they're not going to combine to go ahead and create a new element known as the isra basa b'chalav until each one has a requisite measurement to itself be prohibited, which is that the basar has a shirk azayas to be basa b'chalav, and the milk has a shirk azayas to be basa b'chalav. But if you're starting over each one and a half azayas, then that's not going to be asa, because they don't combine. Now, the Levi, I mean, he disagrees. He says, no, afloik al bishul, he says, you'll even get lashes for its cooking, yeah, even where you're starting off with a half azayas of chalav, half azayas of basar, because they combine for the shirk azayas, it's the element, the basa b'chalav. You don't need to have each one having a shear. You don't need the meat to be a shear of basa b'chalav and the milk to be. Together, they're what makes the new entity. And therefore, if they're combined as eyes, that would also make the isser. So too for the case of cooking. Emechein tani Levi in the gears is b'masnita. So too Levi taught in his braisa that k'shem shaloika al-chalasa, just like you get lashes for eating a half a zayas of each together, which is a zayas, k'chaloika al-bishuli, so too you get lashes for its cooking. And he qualifies as be'eza bishlamu. What type of a cooking would we talk about would make a person liable for lashes? It's be'bishl shachem. It's a type of cooking that others, meaning that non-Jews, that now what you cook, they would eat because it's cooked. In other words, if it's fully cooked, then that's a cooking that one is liable for, which is qualifying that general isser regarding the bishul of basa b'chalav. But again, the isser would even be chatzis zayis basa and chatzis zayis chalav because it's the combined element of kezayis that is the liability. Now, relating to one of the ideas we mentioned on Amud Aleph, says the Gemara, ve'ef shlo soich te'atzmai, this halacha itself of regarding could we squeeze out something that had absorbed Isser inside of it to spit it out and as if like it could go back to be permitted again, and we view each thing as separate entities, or not, do we view the whole thing as now a prohibited element? Is Tanoihi, although we said on Amman Alpha Machlikis Amaram, it's a Machlikis Tanoi. The Tanoi, like learn the Braisa. Tipas Chalav Shanafa Al Chaticha, like the case that we have in our Mishnah. The drop of milk fell onto a piece of meat. So says the first opinion, once that drop of milk gives taste into that piece of meat, in other words, since there's enough milk in quantity to give taste into that one piece of meat, everything is going to be forbidden, even if the pot is mixed up. Where you technically could say that, oh, wait a second, if the pot is being mixed up, so then that drop of milk should have to be divided and giving taste into the whole pot, which it doesn't have enough to make prohibited. Even so, says this first opinion, it's going to be prohibited, as the Gemara later on is going to explain. And as this opinion itself first explains, because hachaticha atzman as nevela. First, that piece of meat that it drops on, it becomes like a whole prohibited item itself. Now, vayseres kol hachaticha is kulan. And now that it became prohibited, it's going to make all the other pieces of meat prohibited, memnei shehin mina, because the rest of the thing, the contents of the pot, are also the same species. So therefore, they're all going to be forbidden, even if there's 1,000 other pieces, which definitely would have enough to nullify even that whole piece of meat itself, not just the drop of milk inside of it, but since they're the same species, so it cannot nullify the taste of the meat that's coming out from it, because even though it can nullify technically the milk, but the taste of the meat itself is prohibited, not just the milk inside the meat. And that cannot be nullified because that's min b'minay, and that's lay batal because that's the opinion of this Tana, which that's the Rabbi Yehuda, he holds min b'minay lay batal. So the whole pot is going to be prohibited. Now the Chamayim, they disagree. They say, acha titin tam, until the taste of the milk will give taste, beraitiv, in the gravy, ubekipa, which those are the small pieces of meat that's on the bottom of the pot, ubechatiches, and the rest of the pieces of the meat, until it does that, which the assumption of the Gemara in the beginning is that it's talking about the drop of milk itself. Until that drop of milk could give taste into all the contents of the pot, it's not going to be forbidden, even that first piece of meat that it fell onto, because it does get squeezed out into the rest of the contents. And since that it's not enough to give taste into everything, so everything is going to be permitted. Now, that's so far the two opinions. Amar Rebbe, Rebbe says, and the Gemara later on is going to explain the entirety of his statement. He says, regarding this machlekes, he takes sides, depending on the case. He says, Nirin Div Rabbi Yehuda, it would appear to be appropriate the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who he says everything's going to be aser, b'shalay nir b'shalay kisa, when it wasn't mixed together, the pot, and it wasn't covered. The Divri Chacham, and it would appear correct the opinion of the Chacham, who they say actually everything's going to be permitted, b'shanir, when the pot was mixed up. Now, the reason for mixing up a pot, what that means to say is because when someone mixes up a pot, the taste that's in the pot gets mixed throughout the contents. It gets equally distributed throughout the pot. So too, or if v'chisa, if someone goes and covers the pot, what happens then is that the water, the liquid from the bottom goes up and that the vapor goes up and it mixes up throughout the entirety of the pot. That's where it would appear the opinion of the Chacham that everything's going to be permitted. Now, first, the Gemara explains the statement of Rebbe. My loy nir v'lekisa. What was Rebbe saying that he says it would appear correct the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that everything's going to be forbidden when the contents of the pot were not mixed up or it wasn't covered? If you read it literally as it sounds like that, yeah, the drop of milk fell onto that piece of meat and the pot was never mixed, was never covered. So then why would the other piece of meat, like Rabbi Yehuda said, which Rebbe's agreeing to, become forbidden? But in that case, mivla bala. That means to say only that piece of meat absorbed from that drop of milk and miflet loy pullet, but then it didn't go ahead and spit it out into the other piece of meat, that taste of the milk, because the drop of milk fell onto the top of that piece of meat, and it's not being mixed, because A, it wasn't mixed, and it wasn't covered. So why would the rest be aser? So Be'ela, rather, what does Rebbe mean when he says, it was told that it wasn't mixed or wasn't covered? It means loy nir betchila. He agrees to Rabbi Yehuda when initially the pot wasn't mixed. Meaning, when the drop of milk fell on, it just stayed there. So therefore, that piece of meat was taking all the taste of the milk. But ela b'sayf, afterwards, then at the end, it was mixed up. And then, therefore, now the taste of that piece of meat that absorbed the taste of the milk was going out and spitting out its taste into the rest of the piece of meat. And v'lei kisa b'tchila el b'sayf, so to the case of not covering, meant it wasn't covered in the beginning, it was only covered at the end. Now still, amai, why would this halacha be like this, that everything would be forbidden? But habala v'hapalat, but then whatever the piece of meat originally absorbed, it now spit out. And therefore, it should actually itself even become permitted, because now the prohibited taste of the milk that got into it is being spread out, distributed equally into the rest of the pot that's in there, which that drop of milk does not have enough of a measurement to make everything in the contents forbidden. And actually, even more than that, the initial piece that it fell on should even contribute in nullifying that drop of milk, because it was a permitted piece of meat. And why would you say then, like Rabbi Yehuda is saying, that chaticha nas nevela, that piece of meat is forbidden, and thus it's forbidding all the other pieces of meat because min b'mini le'batel? Obviously, says the Gemara, and this is what the Gemara wants to prove, that kesavar, that Rebbe holds, who he was saying that appears the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda to say it's forbidden, when it wasn't mixed in the beginning, only at the end, is because once that piece of meat receives the taste, then it becomes totally forbidden. And that piece of meat is going to make all the other pieces of meat forbidden, because he holds efshal l'sochti aser. Even when it's going to get squeezed out, all of that piece of meat is all prohibited elements, because it became entirety like a piece of iser. And therefore, even what's getting squeezed out of it is all iser. And also what remains in the piece of meat is also iser. So since even the taste of the meat itself is now prohibited, not just the milk that's inside of it, so that's what's going to go out and get mixed into the other piece of meat when it's mixed at the end. So even if there's 1,000 other pieces of meat, min b'min le bottle, and therefore it's all going to be asa. So we see Rabbi Yehuda holds, the way Rabbi is describing it, eshel sech des asa. However, the Gemara continues the top of Kaftes and Alf and asks, now, but machlal, the inference is from the fact that Rabbi's saying, oh, it appears to me, up until that point, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, when it wasn't mixed in the beginning, and it was only mixed at the end, which obviously the inference is, but it does not appear to me what he's saying, that it should be forbidden, even if it was mixed in the beginning. So the inference is that even when it was mixed in the beginning, the Rabbi Yehuda subject Rabbi Yehuda holds, kinir mitchil vatzayif, that even if it was mixed the whole time, right when it fell and it was already being mixed, or vakisa mitchil vatzayif, or was covered from the beginning till the end, obviously the inference is that Rabbi Yehuda holds us, it's still going to be forbidden. From the fact that Rebbe didn't say, oh, loy omer Rebbe Yehuda el b'shalei nir. He didn't say that, oh, Rebbe didn't say his halacha only when it wasn't mixed in the beginning. No, he says, it appears to me that that's what I would agree to him. But the inference is Rebbe Yehuda holds that it's usher even if it was mixed right away in the beginning. On that, the question is, am I? So why would it all be forbidden? Haloy bala, but this initial piece did not absorb more than the other piece of meat, klal, anymore. And this drop of milk does not have enough of a measurement to be distributed and make and give a taste into the whole contents of the pot. So why would it all be usher, including the initial piece, if it was mixed from the beginning to the end, according to Rabbi Yehuda? And that says the Gemara, because Amai would say, Lo niru yafa yafa. Rabbi Yehuda was concerned that I would say that maybe it wasn't mixed up so well. Lo kisa yafa yafa, and maybe it wasn't covered so well. And therefore, maybe that initial piece did itself absorb it. But maybe afterwards, then it did spit it out when it was really good mixed at the end. But maybe in the beginning it wasn't really mixed so well, and therefore it was the only thing absorbing. Now it's on that concern that Rebbe did not agree to Rebbe Yehuda. But regarding the element of Efshel Soich the Aser, what gets squeezed out is all forbidden. And regarding Min B'minei Le'Batel, that if it's the same species, it cannot be nullified. In regarding that, Rebbe held like Rebbe Yehuda. But again, we see Rebbe Yehuda holds Efshel Soich the Aser. Now we move on to the second opinion to prove this machlokes tanoim. Amamar, Rebbe had said, oh, the divrei chacham, it appears to me the words of the sages, who they actually say that everything is permitted, that appears to Rebbe, kishanir v'kise, when it was mixed and when it was covered. But if it wasn't mixed, regarding that, I don't agree to them, which the inference is that they say it's permitted even when it wasn't mixed at all. Now, but first, the Gemara explains, my nira, my kisa. What did Rebbe mean when he meant to say that I agree to them that everything's going to be permitted when it was mixed and when it was covered? Ile min nir b'saif, if you think he's saying that he's agreeing to them when it was mixed at the end, v'loy nir b'tchila, and it wasn't mixed in the beginning, or v'kisa b'saif, v'loy kisa b'tchila, where it was covered at the end and not in the beginning, where although that piece of meat initially got the taste, still, Rebbe would be saying that he agrees to the opinion of the Chacham who say everything is permitted, because since it's mixed at the end, so ultimately it does get squeezed out, because Rebbe would be holding, like the Chacham, the Efshel Soich is Mutter, because since it gets squeezed out, everything then goes back and becomes permitted. How can you say that, Ha'amrit? But you already said, Rebbe, Nir and Divrei Rebbe Yehuda Baha, then that element he says he holds like Rebbe Yehuda, that actually Efshel Soich is Aser. He only disagreed regarding making the Gzeira of maybe it wasn't mixed so well. But regarding the case of when it was near Loinir Mitchila and Loinir Besayf, that he agrees to Rebbe Yehuda that everything's awesome. Or rather, what does Rebbe mean that he agrees to the Chachamim when it was mixed and was covered? Near Mitchila Vatsayf, when it was mixed the whole time, from the beginning to the end, right when the drop of milk fell in, they were mixing it already. Vekisa Mitchila Vatsayf, when it was being covered from the beginning to the end. Oh, that's where he holds of the opinion of those who say everything's permitted, because since here, from the beginning, the taste was being spread throughout the whole pot, and there's not enough of the drop of milk to make the whole pot forbidden to give it a taste, that's where he agreed that it's going to all be permitted, because like we said, in that element he does not agree to Yehuda, who's concerned that, oh, maybe it wasn't mixed so well in the beginning, and maybe that initial piece absorbed the taste. But machlal, but one thing we could see that we can infer from the fact that Rebbe said, oh, I agree to their opinion who say it's all permitted, only when it was mixed in the beginning, which the inference is, but I don't agree to their words, this that they permitted, if it was not mixed in the beginning. And they permitted, even if it was not mixed in the beginning and only mixed at the end. Why? Obviously because it's being squeezed out. So the inference is, the Rabbanan Sarvi, that the Rabban hold, Nir B'Soif, V'Loy Nir B'Tchila, that they hold more than Rebbe, that even if it was mixed only at the end and not in the beginning, or kisa b'sleif, or the kisa b'tchil was only covered at the end and not in the beginning, then mutta is going to be permitted. Alma kasavri efshel seich the mutta. So we see that obviously they hold that when you could squeeze something out, actually we view that prohibited item as if it's being removed from that prohibited, that permitted initial item, and actually it cannot make the rest forbidden, and even the initial piece is going to be permitted. And that's like we said, that we see that this halacha of efshel seichtei, if it's mutter or asr, is actually machlekes tanaim, where we see Rabbi Huda holds efshel seichtei is asr, and the Chacham holds efshel seichtei is mutter.